Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories.
Good morning and welcome to Speak Up. It is March already, Monday, March the 2nd. Welcome to the program here. You're here on CJSF 90.1 FM. And thank you for joining me this morning. My name is Magnus Thiebold, your host for this hour. We have a bunch of good stuff lined up for you today. An interview from Danny Nesvadarani about a new AI policy for New Westminster. We have a follow-up on a story we did last week, or a story we brought you last week, about a long-lost band from Nanaimo that put out... Well, they didn't put out a record. They actually recorded a record, and it never got to the point of being released. But they did put together an acetate, which is an acetate, which is a kind of sort of one-off, very small sort of run way that used to be used to sort of make a recording available prior to being released on something, you know, for real. That, you know, be passed around so people could listen to the music. Found in a record store in Nanaimo by a Victoria music enthusiast and promoter. And long story short, the record was released. Well, I'll get back to that. Anyway, we have a follow-up about a show they did, and I'll give you that whole intro a little as we lead up to that story. We have our first edition of the season of Gardening with Embark. Pablo Vimas is joining us today. We're going to talk about planning for the gardening year ahead. And as I say, this is our first of a weekly series. We'll be running from now until about November, when the first frost comes and we start, the first frosts start coming and the gardening season comes to a close. So we'll be here every week talking about gardening tips, what you can be doing in your garden, how to get the best out of your garden, and how to enjoy it. So that's coming up at about 10:35. We also have some good music and a bunch of other stuff as well, including part of a series we're running this month called Rendezvous Francophonie, which is a series about the Francophone communities across Canada and how they fit into the Canadian fabric. So that'll also be coming up in today's show. We're going to start off with... Our report from Danny Nesvadarani about the new AI policy in New West.
Reporting from New Westminster, BC, this is Danny Nesvadarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. At a recent New Westminster City Council meeting on February 9th, City Councilor Tasha Henderson put forward a motion for discussion requesting that city staff work towards developing a City Hall-wide AI usage policy. During the discussion that this motion sparked among council, it was stated that a New Westminster resident had reached out to the city due to their concerns regarding an email they had received from city staff that was seemingly AI-generated, exemplifying the need for a policy to be put in place that regulates its usage among City Hall staff. To learn more about the motion and what a timeline regarding a New Westminster AI policy may look like, we reached out to City Councilor Tasha Henderson, who had originally proposed this motion back on February 9th. We first asked her what were the reasons behind her bringing forward this motion.
Yeah, I think three things. So, a resident had reached out to me around AI use and
They came to delegate. His name's Jeff. He came to delegate that evening, and just wanting to know, you know, what the city was doing, given that we are really committed to climate action, and noting the, you know, resource intensive practices around AI. He was curious to know what the city was doing. So that came sort of as a, you know, put a bug in my ear. Another resident let me know that she felt that a letter that she had received from city staff may have been AI generated. That was concerning to me, that I wasn't aware that was a practice in which we were engaging in. And then I think just personally, I am slower to adopt new technologies, admittedly, but I have a lot of really, valid concerns about the adoption, increasing adoption of AI within cities, you know, both the like ethical and legal framework, but also impact on our staffing. I don't want to see people being replaced by technology. I was asked to moderate a panel at the Union of BC Municipalities conference in the fall. Ironically, I was moderating a panel on AI use in cities, and it really kind of blew my mind to see just how entrenched some cities already are in this technology. And the ways in which people and other teams are using it. And it sort of made me go, oh, are we doing that? I don't even know. And so I think that I would like to know how and when and if we are using some of these softwares. I don't know the correct language around it, but I definitely, I have an appetite to know how we're using it. And I think that the public, if people share some of the same concerns that I do, or that these residents do, I think people ought to have the right to also know how the city is using it, so that they, you know what to expect, and that we're transparent around it.
Next in our conversation, Councillor Henderson provided her opinion on the ways in which she believes the general public of New Westminster may prefer AI to be used by City Hall staff versus different areas where they would not.
You know, I see two sides. I see, on one hand, I think that the public would like us to find efficiencies and ways to make work go faster and to get responses from the city faster. So I do think that the public at large does want to see that. I also think that there are some things in which the public would much prefer having a personal response or a personal touch. And so, I think that the public, for example, would be pretty upset to learn that a city councilor was using ChatGPT to reply to their emails. Like, I personally would be upset by that, you know, if I thought that they weren't even sort of putting in a little bit of energy. And I think there are, some topics that residents, I think, would expect a more personalized, you know, response or a personal touch to it, as opposed to perhaps maybe, you know, asking a question around like, what are the zoning requirements? And then sort of getting like a blah, 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 here are the zoning requirements. Perhaps that was a standard template or something like that. So I think it kind of varies on what people like, what the public at large, you know, and I think that there's also a huge spectrum amongst folks about their own personal use of these technologies. And, you know, I have friends that kind of use ChatGPT as a personal assistant and does a lot of stuff for them. And then on the other end, I have, you know, people in my life who it is like a hard line to not engage at all with these technologies. So I think that there's a lot of nuance here, and I don't know exactly around the disclosure. I would think that was maybe something that we should be practicing, but again, I think that we'll be working this out as we're also sort of like in conversation with other government agencies, with other organizations around like what are people doing, and hearing from the public around what their expectations are.
Afterwards, we asked City Councilor Tasha Henderson what a timeline regarding the creation of this AI policy may look like.
Yeah, with most of our motions, staff will come back at least with sort of a next step plan within 6 to 8 weeks. So they might not come back with, you know, the full response of what we've asked them to do, but they might come back with an interim report that says, you know, we are to develop this. We're going to have a task force that's going to review this and da, 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 and this is when you can expect it. So I don't know exactly yet. I'm told that there is something already in the works, and that you know, there are some guidelines being created around its use. But again, I think there's so much to dig into in it that you know, I don't think it's as cut and dry as to say, oh well, you know, these things need to be written by, you know, humans, and this side can be this, because I think there's also needs to be guidance around, like, are staff adopting a practice of using it as sort of like a search tool almost? Are staff adopting it as a way to draft something but then edit it? I don't know how it's being used, and I think it is very hard to monitor and track, and I'm not interested in sort of micro managing, you know, everybody's like 9 to 5 during like every moment that they spend on the computer, because I think people generally use their time wisely.
At the end of our conversation, we asked City Councilor Tasha Henderson how New Westminster residents can share their opinions regarding this AI policy in City Hall. She said you could reach out to the mayor and councilor's email, which is mayorandcounselors@newwestcity.ca, or you can reach out to her directly with any feedback you have at thenderson@newwestcity.ca.
So, yeah, happy to hear thoughts on both sides. Again, this is kind of new to me, and admittedly, I'm a bit of a dinosaur when it comes to new technologies, and I'm really eager to hear, you know, sort of both sides of this coin, and to try to figure out, is there a compromise that people feel like they can get behind and live with? You know, it might not satisfy, you know, there are some people who are really pro AI and just want us to adopt it on everything, and then again, there are those people who have a hard line in the sand, and I don't know if we'll find a solution that works for either of those camps, but I'm wondering if it's possible to try to find the nuance here as we kind of like move through this uncharted territory.
Once again, that was our conversation with New Westminster City Councilor Tasha Henderson on a motion she recently passed during a city council meeting that will have City Hall staff work towards developing an AI usage policy in City Hall. This has been Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. This segment would not have been possible without the continued support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Local Journalism Initiative. You can also find this piece on frequencynews.ca.
So are you using AI in your work or life? There's so much talk about it. Which is justified. I mean, it's coming like a steamroller at us and creeping into so many different parts of our lives and our work environments. Like, I would say, I personally, I don't really use it a lot in my work, mostly because... But then you think, you know, every time I Google search, the first thing I see there is Google's AI sort of answer to whatever I was looking for. Sometimes I use it, sometimes I go to the websites. You know, all our emails have, you know, there's a button now that says to summarize the conversation. Or as they talk about in that report there, to put together automatically created response. We've heard stories in the media about people using AI to craft their responses to people they're chatting with on dating platforms, which I always imagine with a bit of a laugh, the idea that, you know, you know, you end up with two people chatting, meet on a, you know, match on a dating platform and then carry on, have their bots entirely carry on the conversation as each one you know, uses the AI to sort of formulate a response, and then the other person's AI responds to that and back and forth. I'm sure it's happened. But if you have some thoughts about this, if you have some ideas, if you how do you use AI in your daily life, or what do you think about it? You can give us a send us a text here. You can do it to any for any issue you want to share with us. The number is 778-782-2573. That's 778-782-CJSF. Tell us what you think about AI or how you use it in your life. We'd love to hear from you. Begonia is a Canadian artist with a relatively new album out. Came out just before the end of last year, called Fantasy Life. This song is from that album, and it's called Hotter Than the Sun.
The pounding in my head, the making of my bed. Some things I'm quick to tend to, others overwhelm me, yeah, yeah, yeah. All often therapized, then intellectualized. Why there's something inside that makes me wanna hate myself. My need for validation, self-asphyxiation of my medication. Oh, and then an everyday sedation.
From her album Fantasy Life, that was Hotter Than the Sun. Currently doing well on the Earshot National Campus Community Radio charts, compiling radio airplay across Canada, including CJSF. You can check those charts out and find out what's trending in alternative and non-mainstream music at earshot-online.com. And all the charts, national charts and individual station charts, are all found there, earshot-online.com. Check it out. It's a nice window into the world of up-and-coming music. All right. In a couple of minutes, we are going to bring you a part two of our story, really quite sort of charming and bring a smile to your face story about a Nanaimo psychedelic band that almost put out a record in the 60s, only to have that record discovered last year and finally released, and suddenly they're getting lots of attention. That'll be up in a couple of minutes. We'll be checking in with them, The Glass Cage. But first, these messages.
Who doesn't love music? Join the weekly discussion at the CJSF Record Club with other music aficionados, checking out new releases and forgotten classics, exploring and learning about genres and loving music. Every Thursday at CJSF Burnaby from 4 p.m. till 5 p.m. Listen, learn, and share.
If you have the luxury of being able to get up here for a 4 o'clock on a Thursday, do come by to Record Club. It's a lot of fun, super super accepting, super open. It's there for the enjoyment of music and different themes every week. So, you know, this week it's going to be about, you know, some unknown female artists because we're coming into International Women's Day this coming weekend. And it is International Women's Month. But, you know, different things, it's a whole lot of fun. So really, if you have the opportunity, you don't need to register. You don't need to check. Just drop in Thursday afternoon at 4 o'clock or between 4 and about 5:30 and join in on the fun. Super cool. you're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM. Coming to you from the top of Burnaby Mountain in Burnaby, BC. We'll be back in about a minute and a half with our story about The Glass Cage.
This is Bird Note. Some of Hollywood's most iconic beasts owe much of their signature sound to the squawks, tweets, and even hisses of birds. Take Jurassic Park. To create these mournful calls from the Brachiosaurus, sound designer Gary Rydstrom slowed down the honks of geese. In The Prisoner of Azkaban, the hippogriff's scream is actually a limpkin whose high-pitched call earned it the nickname The Crying Bird. Or in the sci-fi film Arrival. To create the language of the aliens, New Zealand-based sound designers David Whitehead and Michelle Child recorded local birds and lowered their pitch, then added some other animals and instruments like bagpipes and didgeridoos. Ironically, Alfred Hitchcock didn't use any birds for the soundscape of his classic horror film, The Birds. Instead, the sound of those murderous seagulls was made using an early synthesizer called the Trautonium. Hitchcock claimed he couldn't find any real birds that sounded spooky enough. That's Hollywood for you. For Bird Note, I'm Mark Bramhill.
This is a Sitra News Update. Following the story of a long-lost record being found, former Nanaimo-based band The Glass Cage was reunited for the first time in over 50 years. Downtown Nanaimo's The Vault Cafe was standing room only on Sunday, February 22nd, as The Glass Cage celebrated the release of their long-lost record, Where Did the Sunshine Go? CHY earlier reported on the story behind the record when veteran music promoter Marcus Pollard found an unknown acetate record in a portal burning collectible store. To his surprise, the record still played, and the music on it was really good. After his discovery, Pollard spent several years researching the unknown psych rock group, The Glass Cage. Eventually, through his work, he connected with the then-teenagers who recorded the unreleased album in the summer of 1968. The record featured Nanaimo's Norm Roth, Wayne Horbord, Clayton Millen, and the late Terry Morrison and the late Doug Hastings. Pollard knew that he and his friend Jason Flower, a musician and archivist out of Victoria, needed to give this album its time in the spotlight. Now, almost 60 years later, the band is getting some rock star treatment as people come out to celebrate the band in the history of the past music scene that once rocked Nanaimo. To celebrate the album release, the band hosted 3 album release parties in Vancouver, Victoria, and Nanaimo. CGY attended the event in Nanaimo. The event featured talks from Pollard Flower and a Q&A with the original band members. Where Did the Sunshine Go? Was also played in its entirety. As the final record release party came to an end, Pollard said he is happy to have celebrated the band in the city they formed in.
I didn't cry, so that's good. But, I mean, it's totally full circle. This is where it was born. This was where I feel that Jason and Supreme Echo and I, we did right by the band, we did right by the city, and yeah, I'm a very happy guy.
Flower said the event at the Vault Cafe was a perfect conclusion to bringing this record and band back to life.
We're here in Nanaimo. You know, the city had a population of 15,000 people at the time. I just can't believe this sound even came from here during then. But, having learned what bands were coming through, it does all make sense. I think most of all, honoring these musicians and also seeing their families here and knowing that there was no animosity amongst any of the members, given that they were teenagers when they broke up and everything. There's so much love, and the guys are so cool. I mean, I think we're equally just grateful, on all sides to have been able to do this together.
Flower, who created the archival record label Supreme Echo in Victoria, whose team worked on reissuing this record, says this project was special because of the original recording being found on an acetate, not vinyl, record.
I think what's so special is the source, to begin with, being an acetate. For world record collectors, this is the greatest find. I mean, there are unreleased albums and you find tapes and you hope they're not too deteriorated and you transfer them. But to find a one-of-a-kind acetate disc, okay, actually we found 2 in the end. From Little Nanaimo on Vancouver Island, we have an album that is now redefining the history of Pacific Northwest psychedelia and garage rock. It's really going to mark its place, and I already see this in the international critical acclaim.
Having worked on many records over the years, Flower says he has never seen such an extraordinary response from people around the world for an archival album by an unknown band.
You have to imagine, this was all based on basically controlling the material not coming out and leaking one song. I usually would publish 2 teasers on a digital pre-order, but the opening track is such a banger. It was enough to just tantalize the people with.
Even before the whole album was digitally released on February 24th, he says the first pressing of the vinyl was already sold out. Flowers says he hopes this project shows people the importance of saving and documenting music.
I hope that anybody out there listening that has a brother or an uncle or a grandfather that has an acetate, this one-of-a-kind recorded record that has nothing written on it. We know of one in Duncan, if I could just get it out of the guy's hands, We'd love to preserve it for the broader public, so we can continue to document the history of underground on the island, because this album, The Glass Cage, is a soundtrack to your city.
Community members, friends, and family gathered to celebrate the band and reminisce on life 60 years ago. Christine Robertson was there to remember her late husband, Doug Hastings, the original drummer for The Glass Cage, who can be heard playing on the album. She says Doug would talk about his time with The Glass Cage a bit during their marriage of 15 years.
And I actually have known his family for 60 years because we moved to Nanaimo in 1965 and started at the church that his parents were very involved with. So, yeah, I've known the Hastings for forever.
She says it's great to see that everyone's so enthusiastic and interested in the band.
I absolutely thrilled that they managed to figure it all out and get it together. Yeah, I'm thrilled.
She says Doug never forgot his time with the band and his love for music.
He loved his music. Sitting on the couch, he didn't have his drum kit when we were together. He'd sitting on the couch, tapping the arm of the couch to the music in his head. And the vibrations drove me nuts on occasion.
For Sitwa News, this is Glenn McKenzie.
This report was made with the support of the Local Journalism Initiative, the Community Radio Fund of Canada, and listeners like you. You can find more news updates, interviews, and stories from our nonprofit newsroom, as well as our